All right, everyone, we're going to reconvene. So next up on our agenda is item number 6. These will be board comments. I'll start at the far end of the table with Commissioner Carmona.
Nothing today.
Thank you, Jay. Vice Chairman Gilman.
Nothing today, sir. Thank you.
I just have a couple of things before we move on. It was brought to my attention that our PR firm, Rad Strategies, had teamed up with the Travel Channel and has recently aired a program, the 10 Best Places to Celebrate Christmas, and Virginia City is one of the top 10 in the nation.
So awesome.
Pretty nice accolades for Virginia City. If anyone was in town last Monday, a week from yesterday, it was we celebrated Veterans Day. It was like a regular summer day in Virginia City, packed. It was very patriotic. We had a great turnout of vets and visitors from all over the place. And once again, Katie at Virginia City Tourism did a great job of coordinating the parade. Fabulous turnout. It was just terrific to have everybody in Virginia City for the celebration. I have a couple of notes here on the passing of a couple of people that a lot of us can remember. Mel Quinneman he's an ex-building official here with Story County. He was a longtime employee of Story County, also a one-time candidate for county assessors, I believe. So Mel went ahead. He passed away Friday up in Oregon. That's where he had retired to. And then yesterday, a long-time Virginia City resident and complete total craftsman, Dick Wellhouse, passed. He had just returned home from the hospital, and he passed yesterday. So Dick had done a lot of work around town. He was in his 80s. He was one of those old craftsmen that knew how to do everything. And he could replicate anything, repair anything on the antique side of things. And so anyway, Dick had actually done some repair work on my dad's mansion here in town. And just on top of being a great craftsman, he was a real gentleman, too. So well, I miss both of those gentlemen. Right now, we're going to move on to item number 7. This is discussion of possible action. This is to authorize the county manager to approve a contract with Linda Ritter Consulting not to exceed $20,000 to develop a countywide and organizational strategic plan commencing in the fall of 2019. Mr. Osborne?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to point before we begin that Linda Ritter is in the audience with us today, and she does have a short presentation if the board chooses. I'll get a little bit of an introduction here. We had talked about for some time with the leadership of this board is creating a strategic plan for Story County, essentially a master plan on how Story County government interfaces and provides services for its residences and businesses, and how we work internally as a team for maximum efficiency and getting things done. In order to do a strategic plan, I'm not going to say here that I have all the answers and I should just do this. We thought, what a great idea to look at somebody in our region that has a tremendous amount of experience. Linda Ritter is the person we're looking at contracting with here. She has 35 years of experience in not only strategic planning, but working in the trenches in local government and planning with Carson City, the Carson City Airport, the Carson City Convention and Visitors Bureau, Western Nevada College, and now with Story County in our process of choosing a county manager, which was the emphasis on using a public and open process with our communities. The contract that's in front of you is not for Linda to do the strategic plan for the county, but for that plan to be an interaction between our communities and departments and our staff and our leaders throughout our counties and its communities. And really, she would provide the technical expertise and the performance measurement background and the ability to guide and help in the process, while county staff and this commission and other leaders do more of the public interface and working with these folks. There is a scope of work on page 1, and that scope says $18,700. That is a not-to-exceed amount, so we believe that actually would not be an $18,000 project, but if for some reason it would inch that way, then there would be that amount. And to round the number off and just provide a little buffer, I requested 20. We believe this will be about a 6 to 9 month presentation or process, and it would actually begin on December 3rd at this county commission meeting with the launching of potential goals and objectives, or goals, vision and mission. Sorry about that. And go from there. So at this point, I don't have anything else, but I believe that Ms. Ritter does have a short presentation she'd like to provide if you like.
Great. Thanks, Austin. All right. We'll invite Linda to come up.
For the record, Linda Ritter, Linda Ritter Consulting, and thank you for the invitation to be here. Thank you to Austin for thinking of me when he was thinking of strategic planning, because that's what I love to do. I was in the trenches. I worked as a city manager and assistant county manager for years, but one thing that I found made that job easier and better for our governing board as well is having a good, robust strategic plan that's built from the ground up. I'd like to go over just a couple of points about what strategic planning is and about how we may build this thing in Story County. So why strategic planning? First of all, it gives you direction, it gives you alignment and aligns everything you do, and it serves as a really good communication tool. Direction, the strategic plan will define what is important for all the communities within Story County. It will define desired results. A lot of parts of a plan is setting the expectations. What kind of result do we want? And it defines that strategy. If this is the result we want for our communities, how are we going to get there? And that's what the strategic plan does. Alignment, it keeps all the parts of the organization moving in the same direction. In government, you get pulled in a lot of different directions. That strategic plan gives you a tool to keep going in one direction instead of having your resources scattered about. It suggests resource allocation based on that direction. So when it comes to budgeting, you have a tool to help you define where your resources should go to make the biggest impact possible. And you can align budgets with actual results. Here's our tax dollars. Here's what we're getting for those tax dollars. So it creates that alignment. Communication, it allows communities to help establish what's important to them in their community. You've got a lot of several diverse communities, and you want to hear from all of them and build what their desires are into your strategic plan. It provides public insight to what drives county decisions. When things are on the agenda, many times, and we did this in Carson City for a while, if something was on the agenda, we pointed to what part of the strategic plan it supports. So again, keeping that focus and not having things scattered about. Provides transparency with regard to resource allocation and results. Again, tying, this is what we get for our tax dollars. Okay, let me talk about the format quickly. You'll start with mission and vision, and what we have scheduled, if this is approved, is to come back to you on the 3rd, talk about that vision and mission, have some discussion about perspectives. Now, perspectives are, if you take a group of goals that you want for your communities. Sometimes it's good to group them into different perspectives, and I'll have a couple examples of that for you. Then you have your goals. What kind of goals do you need to have in order to meet that mission and pursue the vision? And then objectives are just further refinement of the goals, further definition of what those are. And then that brings you to initiatives and projects. When you look at your objectives, how are you going to achieve those? You may have initiatives, projects, both programs and projects that are going to move you towards that. And that's where a lot of strategy comes in is when you look at that. And then you have your strategic plan results. And I'm a great believer in some type of a performance measurement or indicator system that gives you good hard information on how you're doing. Are you getting to where you're supposed to go? Now on the other side, so that's the plan for the county. Now you've got a lot of departments working towards those strategic plan results. What I have developed in other entities is what's called department scorecards. And what that scorecard does is takes what that department's budget is, and it defines what people they need to do their work, what processes are required in order to create the results that then support those plans. So again, tying that budget to here's our results, tying those results to what your mission and vision is. So it puts it all into one document. Let me give you an example. So your mission and vision, It tells you why you exist and where you want to go, okay? Then you're going to develop perspectives. Those are broad areas, very, very broad areas, such as a safe and secure community. Some that we have in Carson, safe and secure community, healthy communities, some of those broad goals that you as a board and the communities are interested in. Your goals support the perspectives, and then your objectives support those goals. Now that's the plan. That's the planning piece of the project. After you get your plan done, then you got to start on the implementation. A strategic plan is not something that sits on a shelf. It's something that you should be used on a day-to-day basis. Your key performance indicators for all of those goals, you want to look at, okay, how do we know we are achieving that goal? How do we know we've got there? And so you've got to look at, is there any data or information that we can look to that's going to give us that information? It's going to give the public the information. Yes, we have achieved what we set out to achieve. Then your initiatives that support it, that's where you get in again to the strategy, because you're going to do your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and you're going to look at, okay, what is that low-hanging fruit? What can we do right now to move us towards those things that make sense, that are going to move those key performance indicators? So that's where a lot of strategy. It's important on the initiatives. If it's a program, you say, okay, we're going to go with this program. We're going to measure its results. If it doesn't work, then you make the program go away. Because my experience in government is, let's do this program, and then it's really hard to pull it back. Sometimes there's not a lot of oversight as to whether it's really reaching the results that you wanted. So that measurement piece in the initiatives is really important to make sure that you're getting the results that you wanted. And then your department scorecards, looking at your budget and feeding that back up into the results. And here's the example. So you start with your vision and mission. So strategic perspectives, healthy communities. I'm going to use healthy communities as an example. Under healthy communities, one of your goals may be, and I just picked this out of thin air, encourage seniors to be engaged in their communities. Okay, for a community to be healthy, you want your seniors to be engaged. So that's the goal. The objective may be to provide opportunities for social interaction among seniors. So that's, again, further refining. How do we achieve that goal and that strategic perspective? Okay. Your key performance indicator may be the number of seniors participating in programs sponsored by Story County. Okay. So are we providing ways of seniors to become engaged? Your initiative, when you look at that and you see where you're at, and you look at what your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats are, you may come up with initiatives. One may be develop plans for a new senior center. That might be a capital project that you point to. Another may be begin a series of educational courses of interest to seniors. So that's a program, a programmatic initiative. You start those, and then you measure them and determine whether they're making results. So for your department scorecard, you're going to have your budget that's going to reflect the costs of doing, for example, the educational courses. What people do you have to do that? What processes do you have to achieve that? And then you're going to tie that all back to those performance indicators and whether you're getting that done. Okay? Because you don't want to set up initiatives and say, okay, begin your educational courses. There needs to be a discussion as to whether a department has the tools, the people, the processes to carry it forward, okay, and get it done. So that's an example of what it would look like. So the planning process that we've put together, first is mission, vision, statement. Again, we have a workshop. Now, the way that the mission and vision, we take all of your information, we put together some mission and vision statements, we post those out for the public to provide input, and it comes back to you. That's first. Next is strategic perspectives. Again, through discussions with the board and workshop, finding out what are those general areas of interest or of where we can group those goals to create those objectives or those perspectives. The goals would go to the communities. That's where the outreach goes. Is just go to all of the communities, wherever staff feels we need to go, and find out what's important to you. What is really important to you under these different strategic perspectives, and get that feedback, bring that back to the board for a workshop, create some goals, get some public input, and then bring it to you for approval. So it's a pretty extensive public process to put these together. Objectives, same thing, go to the communities. And then phase two is the implementation process, which is develop your performance measures. That's really working with your departments. What kind of information do we have? I'm not going to say that there's a measure for everything, but where there is, define some of those, put those together, bring them to you, look for public input, and then have you approve those. And then the initiatives, the community workshops are important because that's where we can really look at those strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats and find out, okay, based on what's happening on the ground today, what can we do? And so that's what we want to do with that. And then we bring that together and then bring the initiatives to you and you guys can approve those. Of course, initiatives, they're also tied in budget. So you would have to look at that and then the department scorecards. Now the department scorecards would be at the department level because this is a management tool. Those scorecards should be a management tool for departments that want to participate in that. And they would create those scorecards and bring them back to you. Where we normally saw scorecards, where I've seen them, is very heavily in the budget process because you don't just have, well, this is what we need to keep doing what we're doing, but you're going to have that scorecard that shows those results, that shows those initiatives that you have directed to get that. So that ties that together. Departments. There, just work with the departments and then we bring that back to you for approval. So schedule. We think we can get the mission, vision, the perspectives done. You've got the holidays, so it's always a little bit of a holdup between December and January. Goals and objectives, January to April. And you can see moving, a lot of these things can happen at the same time. And moving that from March to, say, July. When's it July? Hopefully get it done in July. It's complete. Okay?
Okay.
Questions?
So one of the most critical projects I think that our county must work on aggressively is our capital improvement plan.
Right.
Short term and long term.
Absolutely.
5 year, 1 year, 20 year, 30 year. How does the study interface with the meetings and the public meetings? Is it one and the same or is this two separate processes for our strategic plan?
It's much like your master plan. Your master plan has a lot of detail, and that should be worked in with that strategic plan. Now, when you go through the planning process, you're going to find out, when you look at your capital replacement plan and working through your departments, that stuff's going to rise to the surface. So I don't see why those couldn't be done at the same time, putting those things together. Because if you want to get some things done through your strategic plan and you don't have the equipment, the building, the facilities, it's going to be very clear right from the beginning. So that should be worked into the same thing.
So, Austin, you were planning some public meetings for the CIP planning. Do you see coordinating both of these together at the same time, or are they two separate processes?
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Yes, I believe they would really work hand-in-hand with each other. We will, as Linda has suggested here, is this is not going to be a plan that's done in a vacuum. This board will set the policy in the direction it would like to see. And then we go to each of the five communities, and then we're going to go to the departments and all the different areas to see what do the communities want, what do they need, what are we able to do, and as Linda suggested, where are our shortcomings as far as facilities, equipment, funds, whatever those might be, and then try to bridge that gap in this planning process.
So the CIP is another function looking at where we want to spend our cash revenues. Future, right?
I see.
And so we're going to set those goals, for example, a new community center in Highlands, for example. And at the same time, that's going to be part of our strategic plan?
Yes, and what that would look like is if we were looking at a community center in the Highlands, for example, when? Okay, 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, let's say it was 2 year. And then, okay, well, let's say we need to budget a certain amount of money each year up into that point. So even though we may not build it the first year, we know we're going to build it the second year. So we put money in a reserve, working with Hugh Gallagher's office, to reserve that money so this year it's budgeted for and doesn't get spent on other stuff because we know it's coming up. That's just an example. And I think we're looking at a shorter-term plan for that project, perhaps. But other ones could be 5, 6, or maybe even longer into the future, and we can budget ahead of time so one day when we have the ability to build that, the money's there, we don't have to go hunt for it, it's all set, and it's been reserved in the past. And not
so it's kind of a three-legged stool. You bring in budgeting,
yes.
Cash flow projections.
Yep.
I understand.
Yep.
Thank you.
Jay, do you have any questions for Linda?
Well,
we've talked a lot about the strategic plan now for several years, and we kind of went after it a little bit a couple years ago, but we didn't follow through. But now it is time to follow through now. And that's why Austin's brought that before us today, his recommendation to go forward.
Yes.
This is an action item, so we're going to go ahead and ask if there's any public comment regarding this today. Hearing none, I'm going to call for a motion to approve this contract.
Based on the recommendation by staff, and Lance Gilman authorized the county manager to approve a contract with Linda Ritter Consulting not to exceed $20,000 to develop a countywide and organizational strategy or strategic plan commencing in the fall of 2019.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Moving a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. We're good. All right, Linda.
Thank you. We will see you on December 3rd.
Perfect.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you. Next up is item number 8, discussion of possible action, consideration and possible approval of the second reading of Ordinance 19-302, establishing the position of Director of Security / Bailiff in the government of Story County. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. I'm Jeannie Green, Labor Relations Manager for the county. I worked on this job description and then also worked with the DA's office in creating the ordinance. The next step after this is we go to POST, which is the Peace Officers Standards Training Commission, for their approval. They have to create a new law enforcement agency within Story County, and that would be the Security Department. I provided POST a copy of the draft job description to make sure that they were in agreement with what was here, and they had a couple of very minor changes that they recommended, and that came in after you looked at this at your last meeting. So under the job summary, they suggested that we break out the responsibilities of the security director and the bailiffs. So you'll see those in two separate paragraphs. And on page 5, I just added one additional word. It's under number 2, and it's the word valid, Nevada Post certification. And those were the only changes that were recommended.
Okay. Commissioners, have any questions? Ms. Green?
I have none.
Any public comment regarding this item? Anybody else want to weigh in?
Just that it'd be an amended motion based on the changes between the first and second.
Okay.
That's it.
So I get a motion to approve this, and as the council suggested, that based on the amendments to the that's been made since the first reading. And Ms. Green put in this. So the changes that were made since the first reading
right.
to now
will be.
So the motion needs to include.
And we need to state that.
And we need to read the title of the ordinance.
Okay.
So I'm assuming I, Lance Gilman, Commissioner, moved to approve the second reading of Ordinance Number 19-302, also addressing the amendments that have been made to the contract since the first reading.
And the, we also need the reading of it. You want to take that down to him?
Mm-hmm.
The showman needs to read. We'll bring that right down to you.
Something for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to read that into the motion?
Yes.
So to include in the motion an ordinance adding a new chapter to Title II of the Story County Code, creating the position of Director of Security / Bailiff and establishing the duties of that position.
Okay. Anyways, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
We move to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Unanimously. Excuse me.
Yep.
Move on now to item number 9. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of the successor franchise agreement to the 2009 franchise agreement between Story County and Waste Management.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, and out of an abundance of caution, and at the suggestion of our district attorney, I'm going to recuse myself from discussions or voting on this action item.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lance. Okay. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had talked about this at our last meeting. I had a non-action public workshop, really for the purpose of just that, is providing the public and other interested parties an opportunity to speak on this item before it's brought to this board for action. So I have a little bit of a summary here of what has occurred. It's a little bit, and I'd ask if I can go ahead and start with that, and we'll talk about it from that point. So,
go ahead.
2009, right now we're under the franchise agreement with Waste Management Incorporated. This expires November 30th of this year under an extension that we have right now. And we're essentially reviewing the area franchise, or I've reviewed the area franchise agreements, including Sparks, Reno, Washoe, Carson, Lyon, and some others in the region to see what types of things those agreements have in them. Some common themes, it's not exhaustive, but some common themes include in those franchise agreements is mandatory service. That means every resident and every business must have garbage service and not necessarily self-haul. They have a mandatory cart of 96-gallon or 64-gallon that's provided by the trash provider. They have mandatory, generally, separation of recyclables from their trash, garbage, that's defined. Usually they're 10-plus year agreements, in some cases 13 years, and I believe Carson City's is 17. If it's not 17, it's 13. Residents and customer emphasis as far as the commissions or the city councils in those other counties during their negotiations with waste management or working through an RFP process to put an emphasis on providing customer service and customer rating that is good for them and the customers, meaning the residents of the county. The other things are senior discounts is very common. An 8% franchise fee to the county or city is common. Sometimes it's higher at 10. In one case, it's lower at 5. Ours is at 5 right now. Rights to the garbage, that means it is the property of the hauler. Rights to recyclables is mixed. In Reno, they have rights to recyclables and garbage. In Sparks, they have rights to recyclables for residential. In Reno, it's for residential and commercial for recyclables. In Washoe, it's residential. In Carson City, it's residential and commercial. Community involvement is very heavy in the other agreements, developments, to try to get low. And the things that came up in the community involvement meetings were all of the residences want lower rates. They wanted senior discounts. They want, in this case, there was discussion about mandatory service that was not desired by residents in either of the jurisdictions. Mandatory recycling was not desired, meaning they have to separate their recyclables from their garbage and essentially have, you know, the green can, the blue can, and, you know, another can. CPI and self-haul. These were all the kinds of things that were really hot topics during the community involvement meetings. And a little bit of the research I conducted with our team on area franchise agreements included those exactly, those other franchise agreements, what types of terms, pricing, and other services they provide, the length of them, other elements. talked with other leaders of other counties and jurisdictions on the experiences they had with not only their process of getting a franchise agreement, but also their experience they're having under their current franchise agreements. Talked with local residences and businesses in Story County, as well as, most importantly, was the direction that this Board of County Commissioners provided in saying, please provide the best possible services at the lowest possible cost to our ratepayers in Story County. So the goals, essentially, in all of this process of negotiating with waste management over the last term was to have low residential rates, meaning the actual cost, low rates for businesses and the local, and then a 0% fee for the Story County School District for trash pickup. Non-mandatory was a very hot topic in this county, and we have maintained non-mandatory service in the draft agreement. A recycling center at the Virginia City Highlands, as well as a transfer station in Virginia City, and as well as services in the Lockwood Regional Landfill and the Dayton Transfer Station. Customer service, 8% franchise fee as opposed to our existing franchise fee to the County General Fund. Free market recycling, we could talk about that in a minute. Bid recycling, simple recycling process, and a short-term agreement. Some of the challenges we experienced in negotiation here with our county versus other jurisdictions is we have a small pool of ratepayers. So when you look at 4,000 residences, you look at approximately 2,800, my number may be off a bit there, of actual households, as opposed to off the hill that you're talking about hundreds of thousands. There's an economy of scale that comes into conversation that we're not able to provide that some of the other jurisdictions do. Non-mandatory is another. If you mandate everybody to provide into the service, then the rates can come down because there's an economy of scale. However, Story County, and I agree with this strongly, this board has provided that we want to allow our residences and our businesses their choice to self-haul or to be a ratepayer and have a monthly or quarterly bill. So we have decided to stay that way in this draft. I would say that these things were achieved, but there are some concessions. And the compromises in this case with non-mandatory services means that the rates are going to be adjusted accordingly and that the trash provider needs to find a revenue source from some means, and that gets into recycling. There has been a desire to have free market recycling in Story County. The language that's in front of you with a tremendous amount of work to get it to that point, I believe, is free market, but I'll explain what it is in a moment and why. Out at Try, there is, in this agreement, is a recycle area. And in this area, recycling in its general sense, loose materials in a situation where the company pays for somebody to take the material away, that is subject to the franchise in this draft. That is similar to what Reno does. It's similar to what Carson City does. It is not similar to what Sparks and Washoe County do. They're more of a loose material free market. In this case, however, if somebody wants to provide recyclable services and it's legitimate, they're really going to recycle it, then there's going to be a commodity involved. They can go to any company at the industrial center and then go anywhere in the county otherwise, because the rest of the county is not subject to this limitation. And at no cost, they can put their container, and then a company can fill it up with their separated recyclables that are 90% or 95% clean, and then that provider takes that material away, takes it to California, recycles it, does whatever they want with it. Totally allowable. Anybody can do that. If somebody wants to go up to a company in the industrial park and say, we'll pay you for your plastics or your materials and, you know, provide it in a 95% clean manner, that's totally allowable. If somebody wants to come up to a company at the industrial center and say, we're going to put our bin in front of your place, and then we're going to charge you to put your stuff in our bin and take it away, similarly to like what waste management would be doing in this contract for garbage, that would not be allowed. That would be exclusive to the franchise. So a lot of research and a lot of review has gone into this. And for that reason, I believe it is a free market and true, authentic recycling. I think it's important in this case. We have a short-term agreement. I am not recommending a 10-year, a 13-year, or even an 8-year agreement. I think 5 years is good for us to try out this franchise, make sure we're comfortable with it, make sure the franchisee is comfortable with it, and that gives us opportunity to perhaps to revisit items as needed. With an 18-year or month-to-month reopener, that would be 3.5 years at that point. There would be an option to go ahead and say we're fine with it, we want to renew, or maybe we want to create some adjustments, renegotiate, or another alternative. So in closing, really I believe this provides lower rates for our residences and businesses, better services. I believe that both the garbage in this case is very simple. You throw your garbage in the can and it goes away. In the recycling manner, I believe this also provides for very simple recycling. You put your plastics and you clean it and it's managed in a 95% clean manner. That's what's required. It's pretty simple, pretty basic. There isn't machines or any type of overhead costs or anything really involved in providing for your recycling services. And what I just described is happening out at the industrial center already, where the generators will create their trash or their recycling. They'll separate it, and another company will come and take it away. And another model is for a very big company and others like it out there, that they themselves bring in a tremendous amount, whether it's pallets or wrapping plastic or whatever it is, they themselves move that material over to California, where there is recycling occurring at a better rate than Nevada because of the facilities they have. That is occurring now, and that's allowed to occur under the new agreement. And very simply, as long as you're not paying for the can as a service, that's it. That's the rule. Now, there's some question on policing. If you were to have where garbage can be loose and, you know, thrown into these bins, and you have to manage the 95% recycling cleanliness, to have that in a loose type of environment where a provider can charge for that, policing that is difficult, if almost impossible, and that's been shown to be the case in other jurisdictions. I believe it potentially could be a full-time staff person in this county that would be responsible for going and looking at all of these bins to make sure, in that type of situation, that they're clean. Under this situation, under those matters, that recycling is going to be a commodity, it's going to be a benefit to the person taking it, and they're going to make money off of it, and they're going to be able to pick that up at no cost or a charge or a benefit to the company. Lockwood Access is added to this agreement in closing, where that turnaround area will allow waste management to bring their large trucks into Canyon Way East, which I call it Upper Bench Row, and the senior community will be able to have regular front door service like they did before. The county, at its cost, will go ahead and build the turnaround at that area. We believe there might be an easement needed for a small portion of that. There may not be. We're scrutinizing maps right now to figure that out, but it will happen. This agreement allows the Lockwood Canyon GID to join this agreement if they would like, and then we would negotiate the terms for that. If they don't want to, they don't have to. It's open, but it is mentioned in here as a potential. Seniors and low-income seniors are mentioned in here up to a 25% discount across the entire county. Citizens' concerns, everything dealing with customer service, which is an area, I'll admit, has been a problem with this group. But there's an ombudsman, there's a website, there's a hotline, a local person now that this agreement will require. This agreement even gets down to the number of rings that a telephone will make before somebody has to pick up and help that person with their issues. And it's a short contract. So I believe this meets all of the objectives of what this board wanted, what this community wants. And I do believe I have met multiple recyclers, not just one group or two groups, and several of those are comfortable with the recycling method described. That's all I have. Thank you,
okay,
Mr. Chairman.
Great. So Commissioner Carmona is going to ask you, did you want to weigh in on this now, or do you want to take public comment first?
For public comment.
All right. We'll open it up for public comment. We don't have a lot of rules. We try to limit your comments to 3 minutes. Yeah, whoever's ready, come on up and come to the podium. If the chair or the other commissioner interrupts you for ask you questions, that and we will not take away from your time, and I'll ask the district attorney to go ahead and keep the clock, if you wouldn't mind. So, come on up, sir. When you get to the podium, you simply identify yourself for the record. Thank you.
Good
Thank you, Your Honors. My name is Kenneth Chang. I'm an attorney from Reno, and I represent a recycler called Green Solutions Recycling. Green Solutions Recycling would really ask that this vote be continued and that we have more time to discuss and work on this franchise agreement. Story County is known, frankly, nationwide as a beacon of economic opportunity and free market activity. And yet this franchise agreement that is being considered to be entered into is granting a monopoly to waste management without putting it out to bid to other recyclers. And we're considering entering into an agreement that's more restrictive than is used in Reno or Sparks. Neither Reno or Sparks includes C&D materials or recyclables. And in this case, except by, you know, way of a statutory argument, which is now in front of the Ninth Circuit. Additionally, before we enter into this agreement, in December, Green Solutions Recycling is going in front of the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco to litigate further the franchise agreement with Waste Management in Reno over similar issues. We absolutely recognize the cost issue. You know, delivering these services at a competitive cost makes all the sense in the world, in which case we ask, why isn't this open to a bid? Why isn't this open to a competitive bid? Our client is here, also represented, and can speak to some of the specifics. This is the first we've heard of this free market recycling approach, and so we will speak to some of the specifics as to how that would affect us. But this current franchise agreement will put my client out of business in Story County. We have 20 accounts in Story County right now. We're in the process of signing up 12 more, and my client will be put out of business in Story County if this franchise agreement is agreed to. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Chang. Ms. Bard?
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. Austin, I'd like to understand the rationale or the logic that you use to define free market, where a business can't charge for their service, where you've made the decision, you've chosen a winner in this formula by saying one business, Waste Management, can charge for the service, picking up all recycling and limiting the ability of the other provider in not only what they can pick up, but also if they can charge for it. So how is that a level playing field? And I just need to, my definition of free market, what I learned in economy about free market doesn't kind of mesh with that. So can you tell me?
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Bard. Yes, I'd be happy to answer that. So when you deal with, let's just look at the general franchise, it's kind of like the power company. You have a franchise agreement. There's an argument that that's a monopoly. But the system is provided that they say, well, we're going to put in $1 billion worth of infrastructure, power lines and poles and equipment and, you know, whatever else. And in turn, they say, well, we want a monopoly over the area and providing power. And the inverse is, well, you have to do it through a franchise agreement. And there's going to be limitations. And then you can go into that's a regulated market, too. So in this case, you could go free market everything, no franchise agreement whatsoever. And I think you even brought that up at your last meeting, is why can't you just go to anybody and say, come pick up my garbage? A try, that may work, because there's lots of people that want to go to the industrial center and provide service. Nobody wants to provide service up here, especially in your neighborhood. There's not a lot of garbage, and there's a lot of driving and a lot of distance to get to it. So, and the same thing somewhat for Virginia City and Gold Hill, maybe to a lesser extent Mark Twain. So there's a franchise agreement that says, okay, we'll let a company be the monopoly, if you want to call it that, in Story County for garbage service. But we're going to negotiate a contract. So you are going to not just provide service in the Golden Gate area. You're going to provide it up here, too, where maybe it's not as lucrative. You're going to provide a transfer station. You're going to provide citizen discounts. You're going to provide a rate that we negotiate down. I'm going to get to your, don't worry, I'm going to get to
but
your
I'm talking
winner.
About try, I'm not talking about the whole
I'm talking about, you got to talk about the whole picture, though. because it isn't just Tri, it's the whole county. You and I are getting garbage service to a place that nobody else may want to provide that. They're not going to drive all the way up here to service three garbage cans. So the county as a whole, Tri is part of us, and Virginia City and the Highlands and Mark Twain have provided part of the county. So there's the franchise agreement that provides those limitations. This is the group that's going to provide service in Story County, nobody else. And as an agreement with all of those benefits on one side comes with the franchisee is going to get a profit on the other side. That's how that works. Now going to the recycling, it's the same thing. And there's kind of a component here. You're talking about, well, I'm choosing or the county's choosing the winners and the losers here. I don't agree with that. Because for true, authentic recycling, I'm a company, I provide widgets, and all the wrapping of the widgets is going to go into a container. It's all plastics one and two, and this container is going to be whatever it is. And somebody wants to come to me and say, I'll take that off your hands so that company can go make money in California selling those recycling commodities. That's no problem. There's free market, go for it. But if a company wants to come in and say, we're going to charge you a monthly bin fee so you can throw recycling in it, the problem you get in with that is, how do you regulate that? How do you know that that's 95% recycling? How do you know that the franchisee that had to give up an 8% fee of all of its gross profits, how do you know the franchisee that had to provide senior services and all of this area that they don't want to service and the transfer station, they had to give up all those things to get this, to have another company be able to come in and undercut them 5 or 10% or whatever it might be with a different bin and not have to provide all those services under this franchise and be able to run with that dirty recycling that's also got garbage and banana peels and whatever else in it. So I don't believe we're choosing winners and losers here. And that element of true recycling, that plastic's worth something. May not be a lot, but somebody's, maybe it is a lot. Somebody's going to come get that for free and take it away or even pay me for that material and take it away. That's free market. Go for it. There's no question whatsoever that that's true recycling.
But you're limiting the ability of the alternative to actually stay in business, causing that to be a lose situation for anyone wanting to compete in that particular segment of the business. And so you are picking losers, because if what the prior speaker just said is true and it's going to bankrupt them, that's really the chilling effect of so many things that powerful entities and people can do to the smaller businesses. And so I think that if there is if there are court cases that are in the process of debating this or coming up with a ruling on this, it might be prudent for the county to wait to see what that shows, or have something in the provision that allows us on this one narrow piece, perhaps, to revisit it. Thank you.
And I just have one response, if you don't mind. And I appreciate your comments, Ms. Bard. It's not at all inappropriate. But you could look and say, okay, well, this franchise agreement in its entirety is preventing other people from coming in and providing these services, whether it's recycling or trash itself. But again, what would we do if we don't have an agreement where there's these negotiation things in process to provide services that wouldn't be otherwise provided? If it was total free market, you and I may not have a garbage can in front of our house.
No, I'm grateful that anybody comes up, quite frankly. I'm grateful when I see the UPS guy drive up to my house. So, no, I understand that. And I think that having that contract for us as residents, being as small as we are with a company that is willing to come up here, is great. I mean, we just found that, you know, propane companies can't come up here, don't want to because it's too expensive. So that part I'm fine with. I'm just saying for a small sliver of business that has other options in an area that isn't difficult to get to, it seems that that area at least could be right for true capitalism and true free market. The rest of us are stuck with and thankful for the service that we do get as a result of that agreement.
And I do believe, and I'll make this my last, I don't plan on debating, but I do believe under this that any company that provides recycling, whether it's the gentleman that spoke earlier or anyone else, under this, they want to come get that material and recycle it, they certainly can. Thank you.
Okay. Come on up.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Mike Draper. I'm with a company called Argentum Partners. I also represent Green Solutions Recycling. I just wanted to address a couple of points and provide some context. We've had similar conversations with Washoe County and the city of Sparks. I wasn't working for Green Solutions in 2013 when the city of Reno extended their franchise agreement and included recycling. But in those conversations with the city of Sparks and Washoe County, it was decided that they would leave out the commercial side of recycling and certainly leave out C&D waste in order to promote free market enterprise. Really, after all, what are the goals of a franchise agreement or the franchise agreement that you're discussing right now? Promote recycling, provide the best deal and the best service for your residents, right? Those are the two purposes of this. Free market, in essence, is what does that. Now, understanding the points, and I think those are well-made points that the county manager made about the difficulties and complexities of service in Story County, we're acting like a franchise agreement, which is a very antiquated model for government to enter into with services, seeing like waste management. That's the only alternative. It'd be very easy to put this out to bid and get the exact same deal. And I'm not saying it's very likely that waste management or another company of its size might come back with a deal that's very similar to the one that's before you or something that's even better. But certainly, and there's others in the audience that will speak to this, they're not the only ones that will provide residential waste pickup. They're just happen to be the only ones in Northern Nevada doing it right now because we continue down this path of this antiquated franchise agreement model. So I would sit here and ask a county that prides itself on economic development and providing business opportunity why we're not going out to bid and talking to other companies. In all likelihood, waste management and this agreement or something similar are still what you're going to come back with, certainly because of their size and experience. But there are others that could provide similar services. I would also ask that you look at what's happened in those places. We're talking about a business model, and it's concerning to hear how this business model specifically address very similar to the arguments that waste management is making in our court case that was mentioned in the Ninth Circuit. My client's business model is that they buy your recycling. And as a big company, I don't have a place to put my recycling. So we say, we'll rent you a bin. They rent the bin. We give them a rebate on their recycling because the price of the commodity right now does not exceed the price of the bin rental. That could change tomorrow. Tomorrow, the price of the commodity could go up high enough that it exceeds the bin rental and there's actually a check that's going back to that client. If you're a company and you decide that you want to take your recycling right to Green Solutions, you can do that. And granted, you can do that under this franchise agreement. But to address, as a company, I could go rent a pods, right? I could go rent a pods, bring that in and store my waste there, and then Green Solutions could come pick it up. So we're actually targeting in a franchise agreement one company's specific business model, which this company is already operating under that model in Story County right now with more than 20 clients. You're going to put them out of business, which we could argue from a policy standpoint is essentially a takings. So I just want those things to be considered. It seems like there's a lot more time and thought that could be put into this agreement by inviting all parties to the table to come up with a good solution. And I would implore you and ask you to do that today. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Draper. All right. Who'd like to speak next?
Hello, commissioners. My name is Nate Lance, and I'm with a company called Rubbish Runners. We have a few clients in Story County. We'd like to grow more in Story County. A couple of points that the county manager brought up that I don't necessarily agree with. One thing is, for us to collect recyclables, we have to charge because the commodity-driven the way it works, it's commodity driven. One day, cardboard might be worth $30 a ton. The next day, it may be worth $15. So it's impossible for us not to charge. We have to have that ability to charge the clients. We work with them to source separate to keep the banana peels out. So what goes in the bin is recyclables. We actually go and work with the operations managers and all that kind of stuff to make that what they're putting in there. Source separating at the spot into one bin. We take it to a MRF where it's sorted again, and packaged for recycling, but we have to be able to charge. We also have been working with another company that will do service all of Story County, the residential, Virginia City, all that stuff. They weren't able to do it because it wasn't put out to bid. So we're asking, maybe kick the can down the road a little bit, put it out to bid, let other companies compete for it. If WM can bring the best deal to the county, then by all means, pull the trigger. And then the last thing I wanted to touch on is C&D, and that's construction and debris waste. That's also carved out in this agreement for WM to have exclusivity on. That's not the case in Reno. That's not the case in Sparks or anywhere else in Washoe County. And Carson just opened up the ability for us to collect construction debris down there, too. So we'd also like you to consider keeping that piece carved out so that we can continue to operate in Story County. That's all I got.
All right, who's next? Okay, no one else?
I'd like to speak, sorry.
Come on up, Ms. Warden. Hey, Eddie.
How you doing today?
Good.
All right. Okay, Mr. County Manager and County Commission, thank you so much for your time today. And I'm speaking in regards with Nevada Recycling and Salvage and rubbish runners and stuff like that. And there were a couple things mentioned by the Mr. County Manager, and that's the fact of investment. To this point, this business has been able to operate in the county here, and they ended up in Story County, and they made a substantial investment. Okay, they have tons of bins. They just bought a $1 million baler for recycling from cardboard to everything else. So we've done a substantial investment. And I thought we want to promote, first off, jobs, okay, because this county's known for promoting jobs. And they put the investment in for infrastructure to do what's needed to be able to recycle. And then secondly, you want to promote choice, okay? Doesn't that bring better customer service for the customer? When they have a choice, then we're all going to fight hard. This is a smaller company. Between Waste Management and NRS, they're the only two around that have a recycling facility, okay? So we have a recycling facility. Waste Management has a recycling facility, and so we're invested. So we're going to end up recycling even if we're breaking even. We're not going to leave something kind of open in the contract at discretion to where if we're not making $1 million, we're going to throw it in the landfill. So we're going to sit here, even if we're breaking even, we're going to recycle because we should promote that. Okay, so I hope we look at the investment. They have over 20 accounts, and then now at the end they got 12 more on the line. So these things will go away. So I hope we'll consider the C&D, and I hope we'll also consider if we end up giving us a chance to really compete with Waste Management, hey, they're the big boy on the block. We understand that. We didn't go to an RFP for, we keep mentioning the fact that they got all the residential, but there wasn't an RFP available for anybody else to go after the residential. So fine, they got that sector. So we're just asking for this little piece from a smaller company that's hungry, that wants to give customer service, they want to operate. They have been operating for a long time. This will put us out of our investment and out of business. So if you can consider both these things, and then if you go back to rewrite, if you do vote today, instead of giving us some more time to speak on the subject matter, there are two things. If you allow us to do C&D and recycling in an open market, single stream, I hope you really get it right on the franchise agreement, because sometime when things are open for interpretation, then all of a sudden we're litigating later down the line. So I thank you for your consideration. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Warden.
Thank you.
Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Carmona, Mr. County Manager, Madam District Attorney Chris Thompson, Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center Project Manager. First, I really want to compliment our county manager. He has worked so hard on this, and this is a complicated topic, no doubt. God bless him for all the hours and hours and personal effort he's put into this. I do want to say that it sounds like that there a recycling company, at least one, is in TRI charging at least some fee, either a bin fee or a charge of some sort to the customers. And that appears to be working for them. They have, I guess, from 12 to 20 customers, it sounds like, with more in route. So I'm not sure I understand why a recycler would be prevented from charging a bin fee or another fee. I don't understand the logic that would somehow create more contamination or divert more normal waste to the recycler simply because they charge a fee. It would seem to me that the enforcement, if someone is cheating or someone is inadvertently putting normal waste in a recycling bin, would be the same whether the recycler is charging or not. As I said at the last meeting, my view is that it ought to be wide open in the recycling world. This is important to our companies. It's important to the Fortune 500 companies that will be coming in the future. And my take is that we let them charge a fee and open it completely up to the market. You know, that being said, again, I want to compliment County Manager for all his efforts on this. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson. Okay. Continue on. Additional public comment.
Morning, County Commissioners, Mr. Austin, and City Attorney. My name is Pat Pinuke, involved with this recycling business. And just a couple points to make is I can't imagine how difficult it is for Mr. Osborne, because there's a lot of balls in the air, you know, to make this work. It's a big process. It takes a lot to understand it. And sometimes even more time and energy, and I can appreciate it. But what we've learned in the last few years about the whole recycling kind of premise and the ins and outs, we saw with the franchise in Reno all kinds of conversations about recycling throughout the franchise. But when you get to the end, there's enough caveats in there to basically take it away, meaning waste management has engineered that document to come up with its recyclable, defining recyclables, but at the end of the day, no one else gets to touch it. And it's simple as that. It's only waste management. We even had Mayor Cashel get up at one of the city council meetings who blatantly said if he would have understood what the outcome was on that franchise, he never would have voted for it. He said that it was never meant to get rid of these smaller haulers that do recycling, etc. He was completely submarined by that whole idea, and it's on record, and he can speak to that. But one of the other things I always concern for you guys in terms of managing your cities, et cetera, is erosion. And one of the things that I know that Green Solutions has offered up is there won't be an erosion. They'll pay their 8% fee on these goods. And meaning if it's going in that bin, GSR is going in that bin with waste management, there's still that 8%. The other comment I was going to make, too, is your sister city, Carson City, went ahead and put out an RFP. And ultimately, through competition, they saved their citizens millions of dollars. I'm a general contractor, and I bid every day hundreds and hundreds of miscellaneous bids for different projects. And if I only went out to one bidder, I can assure you eventually I probably wouldn't get another project. If I only went to one plumber, one mechanical guy, one concrete guy, it would be injurious to my business. I've lived it for 40 years. The other thing is, where's the conviction for recycling? It's a whole new brave world out there. And the emphasis, in my mind, should be so much more on what are we doing with ourselves and our planet and our world and whatnot. And I'm not over the top of that, but I know that there's some merit now with recyclables. And that's my last comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, continuing on with additional public comment. Okay, not hearing any. I'll call on Commissioner Carmona.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to know, the waste management's also in. I think they were waiting for non-public comment, but for franchisee comment, I guess you would say, if that's correct. I could be wrong, but I just
all right. Make sure. Thank you. Mr. Martin Allen?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I was waiting for you.
Okay. Pardon me.
No problem.
Well, I was before you a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not going to go over all of the comments that were made. Pretty much provided you with a kind of list of what transpired over the past several months we've been negotiating this agreement. The negotiating committee of Mr. Osborne and Mr. McBride, I think they did a good job for the citizens of Story County, provided a lot of enhancements to this agreement that are to the benefit of everyone, and, you know, including the service levels, performance opportunities, that sort of thing. So without going into all of those details, you have those, you know what they are. There's a lot of improvements to this franchise over where it stood today. So there's always a lot of comments. I mean, we're the biggest, we're the incumbent. We get shots taken at us all the time. It's just the nature of the beast. But people like to use the term monopoly because it's offensive. And but it's a legal restraint of trade. I mean, you are empowered by the state of Nevada through your police powers to regulate this particular function within your government. Now, we've brought to you a proposal where it's global. We're willing to do everything there is to do in all of Story County, not just in the highly profitable industrial park. So that is what a franchise does. It encumbers you to provide all of the services at rates that are established ultimately by the commission, and we're not allowed to vary from that rate. So a lot of talk about how this is an impact to other people, but let me tell you, this is how the competitor business model works. You guys establish a rate that this is what we can charge for this function. The competitors go out and they can do it. Let's just say it's $200. They go out and they can do it for $150. The claim is that it's just recycling, but pretty soon the customers are told, just put everything in that bin and we'll take it to our plant and we'll sort it out. So pretty soon you start to see the commercial business shrink, and that's the part that pays for the other services in throughout the county. The free services to the schools, the free services to the county, the recycling at the fire station in the Highlands, the recycling at the transfer station, all that stuff is free to the citizenry, but there's a cost to it. Somebody's got to pay for that. And I would hope that the irony is not lost on anyone that the stuff that we're asking to recycle at the industrial park is nothing more than what the county has asked us to provide for free at the landfill and the transfer station and Virginia City Highlands. Same material. We're talking about cardboard, mixed paper, and one or two plastics. Nothing else. We're not trying to get any water that's out at the try because of someone's industrial process. We're not trying to get the pallets that Tesla produces. There's all sorts of manufacturing that goes out there. We're not trying to capture that recycling. We're only trying to capture the traditional recycling. And the reason for that is because that's the market today. The recycling markets are in shambles. A lot of people have got up and talked about that. There's no question. I think Mr. Lance mentioned, you know, you might get $30 today and $50 next week. But that's the nature of the beast. And so you can't make it by just putting the bin out for free and taking the material and selling it, which is why there has to be a charge for it. But you can't set a charge that we have to charge the customer and that someone else can come in and undercut that rate. I mean, that's a recipe for going out of business. So what's happened is our proposal is just attempt to close that loop, just shrink that little piece so that
that there isn't that opportunity. It's not trying to stop any other recycling that's occurring. It's just those particular items. That's what we're trying to do. There's no restrictions. None. And I think Austin did a really good job of explaining it. There's no provision here that prevents a customer from hauling their own material, whatever it is. Nothing. They don't have to use our service. It's a subscription service today. It'll be a subscription service tomorrow. None of that's being taken away. So over the weekend, and Marshall, I apologize to you. Your private email probably got inundated because I was having trouble communicating with Austin. Your firewall was stopping something from coming through. But in any case, we were working all weekend to the point about Austin. He's been working his butt off on this contract, and he needs a pat on the back for that. But so anyways, part of those comments that I sent you, I don't want to go over every single one of them, but for the benefit of the record, I want to kind of just highlight them because in the last agenda packet, there was some information from one of our competitors, and I wanted to just rebut those comments. But before we get there, let me kind of just set the stage as to how we ended up here today. So our current agreement had a trigger date in it of 18 months from October 30th. I was required to notify Story County in the event we wanted to extend this agreement. I did that. On June 10th, Mr. Osborne sent me a letter advising me that he was in receipt of mine and that Story County wished to sit down and renegotiate certain terms of the agreement. In August of 2018, I had ran into current county manager Pat Witten at the Barracuda Golf Tournament. And Pat and I chatted for a few minutes and talked a little bit about when we were going to get together and start talking about this. And we decided that we would let the summer tourist season, get away from us, and we would talk in the fall. So in September, I sent Pat an email asking him for some dates in October as to when we could sit down and start having these discussions. I never heard from him. So in the early part of 2019, Mr. Osborne and I spent a lot of time together on the phone and emails and such. He was working on a project based on the solid waste that was coming out of Tri, and he was researching things. He needed data, tons, that sort of thing. So we spent a lot of time together. In March, we actually started putting our heads together, try to come up with some dates as to when we would begin our negotiations. We settled on April 9th was the first date that we met this year. And since that time, I don't even know how many times we've met, but it's been a lot. So there's been ample opportunity. For whatever reason, you decided not to put this out to RFP like you did in 2009, I don't know. But the decision was made to sole source negotiate with us, and that's what we've been doing. So when I sent you my response last week to the comments that were made by Nevada Recycling Salvage, I used their same numbering system so that it would be ease of comparison. So, and there's been discussion today that, you know, you guys should extend this and put this out to bid. Well, the contract expires on the 30th of this month, and we really don't have any appetite for putting it out to bid because there is not a single bid in this world that I could not win if it was simply based on price when I already know the price. Our rates are on the street. They're part of your packet. So anybody can come in and beat those rates fairly easy. So that's not something that we would be willing to entertain. We can't offer all these other enhancements that we put into this agreement and continue to let these haulers come in and erode this business like has happened in other parts of the county, the adjacent county. There was some comment about inclusion of the landfill in this and separating out the commercial franchise and the residential franchise. The landfill franchise has nothing to do with this agreement other than the ability for customers to dump for free, residential customers to dump for free at the landfill. There's a voucher system that that was developed that allows them to use that facility. There was a comment about, you know, how we craft these agreements to our best interest. Well, I mean, that'd be common sense. I think that's what people do. But this isn't our agreement. This is Story County's agreement. This agreement was put together by a gentleman by the name of Chris McKenzie from Allison McKinsey Law Firm in Carson City in 2009, and he worked with our outside counsel, Frank Cassis, on drafting the agreement that you see before you today, the current agreement. So this is important. This one is important. There was some discussion last time about, and in this literature that you got from one of our competitors about what the ruling of a Nevada Supreme Court case was. I'm going to read here. So the Nevada Recycling Salvage representation of what the Nevada Supreme Court ruled is not correct. They said that licensed haulers can provide rental equipment and operators to business and residents without violating potential franchise. That's not what the ruling of the court was. The holding of the court was, and I quote, the district court properly determined that neither the franchise agreement nor the Sparks Municipal Code placed restrictions on the method, manner, or equipment rented or otherwise to be used by citizens to haul their excess rubbish and waste matter. So it's specific to the agreement. There's no question that that was the ruling of the court. But we're not going to enter another agreement without closing that loophole that the Supreme Court identified, which is why we've put the language in the agreement that we have today. And then the last comment is Nevada Recycling and Salvage, it indicated that they would haul part of their materials to Fulcrum. That just isn't something that's possible. Waste Management and Nevada Inc. has an exclusive arrangement with Fulcrum to provide them with solid waste for their feedstock. And they also have a separate access agreement to their facility off of the Lockwood hauling road. So no one can take that thing unless it comes through us. We make a determination as to what material goes into that facility for the production of the feedstock for Fulcrum, their biorefinery. I have utmost respect for County Manager Osborne and his recommendation to you about a 5-year deal, and I'm perfectly content with that. I've got no problem with it. But I'd ask for you to consider the 8-year deal. And I think you and I talked at one of the sessions that, yeah, that's the most attractive. That is what is desirable by us, and for several reasons. I mean, it facilitates our depreciation of equipment. It lines up very nicely with our labor costs associated with our collective bargaining agreements. But more importantly for the county, it doesn't put us back in a position where we're spending all these months talking about an agreement in 5 years. And it guarantees you the continual flow of those franchise fees, which your run rate today is about $275,000. And with the increase of 3%, you're going to add $165,000 to that. So, and that will grow by the cost of living every year. As the revenue grows, your franchise fee grows. So that's guaranteed to continue to come to Story County for the next five, eight years, whatever it is you end up determining. That's certainly your call. All of that material that is generated by us in Story County ends up in the Lockwood landfill, and you get a separate franchise fee on all of the volumes that goes into that facility. Now, not every company that hauls solid waste in northern Nevada uses the Lockwood Regional Landfill. There's a Carson City landfill, there's a Russell Pass landfill, but everything that we have here goes to the Lockwood landfill. And I am going to quit right there because I think I've emphasized the things that were important to me, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Martinelli. Any questions for Greg?
Not for Greg. I'd like to touch on some of these other companies.
Okay.
If they can come back up. I mean, three companies stated that they would go out of business if we move forward with this contract. So I'd like to understand that a little bit more. If your companies are solely dependent on Story County's business, I'd like somebody to clarify that if they can.
I think Mr. Chang said that, did he not?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to come on up to the podium, sir?
Yes.
Yes, Your Honors. Let me clarify. The current franchise agreement will put Green Solutions Recycling out of business in Story County, not everywhere. So if that was, if I stated that, that was a misstatement.
Okay. Do any other speakers want to come up and talk about what the impact is going to be on the business?
Thank you.
So for Rubbish Runners, we don't operate exclusively.
For the record, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is Nate Lance with Rubbish Runners.
Okay.
We don't operate exclusively in Story County. We would like to grow our business more in Story County, but it wouldn't put us out of business forever. It would just put us out of business in Story County.
Okay, so help me understand. The there's no way for you guys to operate without charging a bin fee. Is that right? You can't just raise your rates elsewhere to cover that cost?
Well, that's on the recycling side. So when we're talking about recycling, things like cardboard, like Mr. Marinelli said, cardboard, plastic, that kind of stuff, the prices fluctuate so widely that one day we may be able to collect it for free, but then 3 weeks later the price will tank and we can't actually send a truck, grab the material, sort through it to make sure it's clean, because it's another thing that needs to happen is the material needs to be clean before it gets shipped to China and other places around the world to be turned back into another product. So we can't do it we have to charge something for that bin in order to service it.
Okay.
But on the C&D side, I really want to touch on that again. That's the construction and demo side. That side, everyone charges for it. And it is a material that isn't necessarily being recycled. It is being landfilled. And that's a big chunk of business out there.
Where do you guys take your trash now from your construction bins?
So the construction stuff either goes to Carson City, mm-hmm. the Carson City landfill, or out to Fallon.
Okay. That's all I have for now.
Thank you.
I'll be brief. Again, Mike Draper, thank you for the question and the time. I guess that's part of our concern with this process right now is that very question is, what are the impacts? What are the impacts to businesses that are currently existing? Quite frankly, we have clients that are very happy working with us in Story County. So at the very least, a business impact statement should be done for an agreement of this size. We're also not talking about something that is a small agreement, both in the economics of it, but also in the timeline of it. At least do a business impact statement. Talk to some of the clients that are in TRI and around Story County that are using other recyclers and companies like Rubbish Runners or Green Solutions, and at least figure out what the impacts are on them and the impacts are on companies such as ourselves, like Green Solutions and Rubbish Runners. We're not here to try and be contrarian. We're here to try and be part of a solution, but we're already operating in a very good fashion, increasing those operations and increasing that investment with customers that are very happy. It's not, at least to my knowledge, that you've received a whole bunch of complaints from businesses in Story County that said, we hate this, we have to pay a bin fee or things like that. The problem is recycling is a commodity. It's a marketable material. There's value to recycling, recyclables. And as both Mr. Lance and Mr. Marinelli said, the price on that commodity fluctuates right now. Hopefully someday as recycling becomes very prevalent and the technologies also adapt to incorporate more recycling, the price of that commodity is going to go way up. But right now it's very low. So in order to provide recyclable facilities like we do and others, you have to charge a bin storage fee. That's almost separate from the recycling. They can bring it right to us, but if I'm a company, I have no place to put my recyclables if I'm going to work with Green Solutions, right? So I could go burn a pod, which under this agreement is entirely legal. So really what this agreement is doing is targeting one company's business model. So I ask you to think about that. I could go rent a pod as a company, put my recyclables in there, have Green Solutions come and pick it up. That's fine. But if Green Solutions, if I rent the pod from Green Solutions, that what we're saying is that's illegal. That in no way makes sense from a policy standpoint. That's our issue here. That's what Washoe County also agreed with. That's what the city of Sparks also agreed with. I'd ask you to consider that very, very hard as you're contemplating this. I know it's tough work, but when you're talking about an agreement of this size, it's worth it to put in a little extra work if we have to.
Does your company offer residential service?
Our company does not. We have a partner company out of the Bay Area that would happily bring in residential service. We just haven't been allowed the opportunity. No one's talked to us about how this would look and how it could work.
So I'm going to put a hypothetical out there. What's the company in the Bay Area? What's that name?
Recology.
Recology?
Yeah, they're very large.
I run my own business, right? And,
sure.
And obviously everybody wants to do what's going to make them profit, right? I applaud everybody for recycling. The reality is if there was $0 in recycling, this conversation wouldn't even be happening. right? You guys love the earth as I do, but I'm sure nobody wants to lose money for the sake of recycling. So if Recology was up here picking up garbage, and obviously you could probably tell me no, but I would assume that they would want some sort of security for themselves if they were going to put out the effort to get the residential business, right? Like waste management is doing. And I really don't care one way or another.
Sure.
Who doesn't? My concern is that the residents get their trash picked up, and that we maintain services in Story County. So if Recology came up here, I'm almost certain Recology would require at least some of what's currently being asked in the franchise agreement. Because I'm pretty sure they wouldn't want to invest the time and the effort to set up residential pickup in Story County without some sort of protection for their investment. Would that be right?
Commissioner Carmona, obviously I can't speak for them, but intuitively that would make sense. And I think that's our issue is, at least if there was a bid, right? If we're really talking about free market, and this addresses Ms. Bard's point as well, so we're really talking about free market and not picking winners and losers, put it out to bid and find what the best deal is. So I'm sure you're right that any other company would come in and want some protection and ensure that there was some benefit to them in order to do this. But at least put it out to bid and do, that's what free market is. That's how you figure out what the best deal is, right? Instead, in this case, we've been talking to one company for so long, we've just flat out said, yep, no one else will do it, and continue down this path, negotiating against ourselves, essentially, instead of going out and see what else is out there. And in all likelihood, that company will come back and do that, but we're talking about issues with customer service, with pickup, with all those things. Maybe somebody else will come in and say, hell, we're going to do this, this, and this, and do it on top of that.
So the issues aren't really what waste management wants. You're just saying you want to see the opportunity for other companies to bid.
At the very least. I mean, it's a little bit, if we weren't doing business here already, I would sit here and say that's the only issue is let's put it out to bid and do something like that. The franchise model is very antiquated. We've discussed it in front of the legislature. We've discussed it. Obviously, it's in front of Ninth District Court right now. But I think at the very least we'd be talking about that. But the fact is we have a company that's already operating in a very positive fashion in Story County. This agreement would eliminate that, which arguably is a takings. I'm not an attorney, and it's dangerous when I play one. But at least from a policy standpoint, it's a takings. So you're effectively telling a business that's already going, that's doing business out here in a very positive way with very healthy relationships with a lot of the other businesses in Story County, hey, see you later. These guys are coming in and doing it whether you like it or not. So that's it's a little more complicated than that. That's sure. A long answer to a short question.
Okay, with that said, I've been asked we take about a little recess, so let's take about 5 minutes.